Eileen in Belfast. Morning, Eileen.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. It's a complex story, is Martin McGuinness's life, and even some of his foes and some of his enemies are saying that but for him, there would not have been stability and peace, but for him and many others, in Northern Ireland.
That's right. And I wanted really just to register my sorrow as someone from the unionist community. I was born and bred in Derry, and I was at home on Bloody Sunday, and I also witnessed Martin McGuinness as a chief negotiator, as a legislator, and as a leader, and I feel a personal sense of sorrow that he has died, and I think we have lost a great leader who was able to move from a position where he would have been feared and detested to somebody who was universally respected and seen as a peacemaker and as somebody who would be willing to die for the country.
He had, I interviewed him on a number of occasions, and indeed was called up to a few meetings with Martin McGuinness over the years when he was telling me off, shall we put it like that, Eileen? And look, whether people liked his politics or not, and we do have to remember victims, as many people will be saying, will be finding it very difficult this morning. Others will be finding it very easy to admire Martin McGuinness. I doubt there are very many people who actually, when they met him, didn't experience his ability to create a warm conversation. And there's no doubt, if you were in a room with Martin McGuinness, there was a certain, there was a warmth to his conversation.
Well, I was never personally in a room where I would have been speaking on a one-to-one basis, but I was working up at Stormont, and I did witness the courtesy with which he treated everybody, and the great sense of humour and the great sense of warmth that exuded from him. And I'll always remember a day when there was a particular event which related to the peace process, and just meeting him on the staircase, and the sense of joy and the sense of hope that he was communicating to everybody around him. So a really amazing man, and a great leader who was capable of generosity. And I would love to see the DUP. There are many people in the DUP who make such a wonderful contribution and are tremendous politicians, but I would love to see that warmth and generosity and confidence exuded from the present DUP leadership.
Eileen, thank you very much indeed. Stephen and Derry. Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, just reflecting on the past of Martin McGuinness. As a Derry man, first and foremost, I pass on my condolences to his family. The work that he's done in his role as peacemaker can't go unnoticed or unsaid. But what I'm ringing about is Lord Tebbit's remarks this morning when he said the world's a sweeter place after the death of Martin McGuinness.
Yeah, Lord Tebbit's coming on this programme this morning at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, well, I think he has to reflect himself on how that will be portrayed within politics of Northern Ireland. You know, we all have a responsibility to be candid in our remarks when someone has passed away, and I think to gloat in the death of someone is just unacceptable. And I think, you know, as a politician, as a member of Parliament, I think he really needs to reflect on his remarks today.
Yeah, Lord Tebbit has said that he hopes Martin McGuinness is parked in a particularly hot and unpleasant corner of hell for the rest of eternity. Lord Tebbit's wife was paralysed by the IRA bombing of a hotel in Brighton in 1984, Stephen.
We're all victims, Stephen. We can all be victims. My own brother was shot in the face by a British soldier with a plastic bullet. You know, do I hold any ill feeling towards that soldier that was 17 years of age? No, I don't, Stephen. So we can all reel out stuff that happened to us in the past. You know, my brother was seriously injured. So do I hold that resentment, that hatred within my heart? No, I don't.
And you don't understand the depth of resentment some people have towards Martin McGuinness, their lives and their loved ones affected, like Lord Tebbit?
I do understand it, Stephen, but to carry that around with you is a very, very sore burden to carry for all these years. And I think that it can only damage you as a person to have that type of hatred in your heart.
Well, we'll try to explore why Lord Tebbit is saying what he's saying today at 10 o'clock. Stephen, thank you. Mervyn in Hollywood. Morning, Mervyn.
Morning, Stephen. As far as I'm concerned, it's a sad day. I'm just trying to think back to all those years and years ago when Martin McGuinness was a young man, 14, 15, 16, whatever, and trying to seek employment for himself and not getting employment for himself simply because he was from the Bogside. He went to the wrong different primary school. He went to the wrong primary school. He was a Roman Catholic who had no chance, in life whatsoever in the Bogside or the Falls or anywhere else. But that didn't give him any right to shoot people, to plant bombs in pubs and kill soldiers. We all know that, but that was yesterday. But I feel sad this morning that this country has lost a great negotiator and a man who wanted to see things differently. I sometimes wish and pray that Martin McGuinness had been a unionist, because we'd have been in a better position today.
Why do you say that?
Well, because I don't reckon to any of our unionist politicians whatsoever. I mean, I say that with a great sadness, Stephen. There's none of them that could stand beside him and say, well, we have done the same as Martin McGuinness. They haven't. It's as simple as that. They haven't. As far as I'm concerned, he was a man of his word. He was a soldier. He was responsible for many, many horrendous things. We all know that. But that was yesterday. I want to concentrate on what goes forward for Northern Ireland. He was born into a rotten, rotten sectarian state that Northern Ireland was, and at times still is today. And that was one of our biggest problems.
It's Mark in Antrim. Morning, Mark.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning,
Stephen,
Mark.
My father was murdered with the Provisional IRA in 1989. I'm certainly sharing no tears over this man. He was a terrorist. And he got a more peaceful end than most of his victims ever got. That man caused more harm than he ever done good to make up for it at the end.
Well, now, Mark, his family are grieving like any other family who have lost a loved one. And I do think that we need to protect his family this morning, Mark.
Well, I'm afraid my father was... Mark McGuinness volunteered to get involved in what he got involved in. He had a choice. My father didn't have a choice. In fact, he was murdered. He wasn't in conflict with anyone.
Well, the line that I'm going to draw this morning, Mark, and I'm going to warn people right now, and this is the line that I am drawing this morning. There will be no comments about Martin McGuinness's family because they are not Martin McGuinness and they are grieving like any other family. Hold on, Mark. I do think it is fair for people to reflect on Martin McGuinness as a political figure. There will be no comment on Martin McGuinness's family, and if anybody chooses to do it, they will be removed from this programme immediately. So that's the rules that I'm laying down this morning. Now, Mark, you've a story to tell about your dad, and so you're angry at Martin McGuinness. And when you hear some people, though, today, and surely this is fair, who are reminding people of the contribution Martin McGuinness made to peace in Northern Ireland, and that he stopped death and he stopped destruction and he took personal risk to do so. Do you agree with that?
No, if you hold somebody's hand in the fire and burn them, you're not a hero once you take it out again for them and tell them, I'm a great guy, you've just taken your hand out of the fire. As I say, he caused more harm than he could ever repay and do good again. Martin McGuinness was a terrorist. He's no better. He's the same cut of Osama bin Laden or any other terrorist on the world stage. Martin McGuinness was a terrorist on the world stage. That's his pedigree. That's what he is. That's what he was.
And what about his peace building?
He didn't have a right to cause a war in the first place or start a war. It wasn't a war. He was a terrorist, and he didn't have the right of the Irish people to carry on the campaign that he carried on. He was a small minority of a group of terrorists. The vast majority of Irish people reputed the actions of the IRA, and that's what Martin McGuinness was. I mean, Hitler had a following as well, and a lot of people thought he was a good guy.
You lost your dad in 1989.
Yes.
What happened?
Mm-hmm. The IRA said they were after another man, my father apparently looked a bit like him. They shot the wrong man. They shot him by mistake. And then they said, oh dear, we got the wrong man. Too bad, we never got an apology. We never got any acknowledgement from them. And Martin McGuinness could have done a lot more to families like mine and to ease pain. So he wasn't the peacemaker he's been portrayed as. He took things to his grave with him. He could have done a lot more.
And Mark, some of the things that he said, do you remember when he called dissident Republicans traitors to Ireland after Constable Stephen Carroll was killed? That was leadership from Martin McGuinness, was it not?
The dissident Republicans only survived because Martin McGuinness would never say that killing people in the first place was wrong. But he was happy enough to condone the killing of police officers in the past. So he didn't have any moral authority to condemn it. And that's why it still carries on. He never at any point ever said that the past was wrong. People should never have been killed for their love of Ireland. And that's why the dissidents can carry on today, because words don't stop it. Martin McGuinness's words are hollow. He may have said that he condemned these things.
But his actions, if you say his words were hollow, his actions weren't hollow when he created a relationship with Ian Paisley, when he denounced violence, when he supported the police in this country, when he shook hands with the Queen.
The hypocrisy, whenever he supported the murder of police in this country, you don't have a moral authority to then condemn others who do it. That's why the dissidents are able to carry on. They're carrying on the legacy that the Provisional IRA left them. That's why young men are still being kneecapped. That's why these communities now deal with their problems rather than calling the police, because it's what the way the Provisional IRA did it. So his words don't work. That's why the Republican communities are still being attacked by dissidents. Young men are kneecapped, and the community would rather deal with it that way rather than using the police. Because that's the legacy that Martin McGuinness and his cohorts left those communities. And that's why it still goes on today.
So when you think about Martin McGuinness, you think what?
I would concur with Mr. Tebbit's comments. I really hope he's in a hot place. I'm not a Christian person, so probably we can't really see him there, but I do. If there was a hell, I believe he'd be in it. And I hope he is.
Mark, thank you. Morning, George.
Good morning, Stephen. I wanted really to have a word with Lord Tebbit, if he was still there. I presume he's gone.
Yes.
Well, Stephen, the British state and their officials are in no position to criticise the Irish. They've killed millions in Ireland throughout the ages. Literally millions. And then, to me and to most Irish people, the British state is a foreign occupation force. And the Irish Republicans fighting to free ourselves from them is no different to the Free French fighting Nazi occupation. You take even during, when Mr. Tebbit talks about terrorists, one man's terrorist, another man's hero. The RAF are glorified regularly by British people, yet they deliberately bombed cities like Dresden, killing hundreds of thousands of people. That, to any moral person, was state terrorism. Similarly, the SAS would sneak behind enemy lines and ambush their enemy, much like IRA volunteers did to British armed forces here. A British armed sniper shooting someone from a distance, is he any less what Mr. Tebbit and others would call a coward for shooting someone from a distance the way an IRA man has done? No. Terrorism is terrorism, whether it's done by an individual group of freedom fighters or an occupation force or otherwise. This is Ireland, the island of Ireland, the native homeland of the Irish nation. British here is a foreign state. That's the thing that we never, ever discuss. It's a foreign occupation state.
How will you remember Martin McGuinness?
Martin McGuinness was a peacemaker, much like Paisley was. I didn't like Ian Paisley. Throughout most of my life, I believe he was a hate monger. But in later years, both him and Martin changed the face of this place, thankfully, and ended the killing.
George, thank you. Pastor Brian Ashworth, good morning to you, Brian.
Good morning to you, Stephen.
What are your thoughts?
Yes, I believe that Martin McGuinness will be honoured, not for how he started, but how he finished. And I believe that forgiveness is the virtue that will save Northern Ireland from its past. You know, he was willing to change. He was willing to cross the aisle. He was willing to befriend someone like Dr. Ian Paisley. He was willing to contribute to the peace process. And for every single one of us, this has to be a word, a metaphor, a message to us in Northern Ireland today that the willingness to change is what will save us from the past, you know. So, yeah, I believe God has a great future for Northern Ireland. I believe that Jesus' words to us are relevant, where he said, you know, be willing to forgive others as I have forgiven you. So I have faith in the future of Northern Ireland, and I send my condolences to his family because, you know, I believe that, Martin gave a significant contribution to the future of Northern Ireland, and it's something all of us can, you know, we can take away something positive from that.
Brian, thank you.